With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. We still have quite a way to go before the holiday season, but a classic toy store has announced it's making a comeback. F.E.O. Schwartz is returning to Manhattan in November. And Wall Street Journal reporter Charles Passy says the brand is going big, with demonstrators, magicians, costume toy soldiers, and yes, that iconic big piano.
When people go into retail environments these days, they are looking for that. There's no question about that. So I don't think that will be an issue. I think the issue really will be is, will people really buy stuff? I mean, especially if this becomes a thing that they mimic in other stores around the country.
We'll have the details in just a moment. But first, here are some top stories. Traveling soon? You may be on the hook for some extra airline fees. United and JetBlue have raised the cost of checking a bag up from $25 to $30 for many routes. Wall Street Journal reporter Allison Sider says extra fees have become a steady source of revenue.
Airlines are facing rising costs. You know, fuel prices are about 40% higher than they were a year ago, but it's a really competitive market, so it's tough to raise fares. You know, in the last decade, fees have become a huge source of revenue for airlines.
Sider says demand for flying is still high, even if consumers are grousing about all the extra fees. Ford is abandoning its plans to import its Focus vehicle, which is made in China, beginning late next year. The company says the decision is due to a hit from U.S. import tariffs. Ford discontinued production of the Focus in the U.S., where it had light sales. A spokesman says the decision to abandon importing from China means it won't be sold here in the U.S. Female executives at Wells Fargo say there's gender bias in the bank's wealth management division. The Wall Street Journal reports that more than a dozen women met in June to talk about their concerns, including women being passed up for top roles and being told that women should be home taking care of their children. The bank has reportedly been investigating complaints of gender bias in the division for months. Coca-Cola is moving into the world of coffee with a more than $5 billion deal to buy UK-based coffee chain Costa. The company has about 3,800 cafes, most of them in the UK, and a growing market in China. It also sells coffee in supermarkets and at gas stations. The deal would be Coke's biggest brand acquisition and is considered a challenge to Starbucks. Still to come, the return of an iconic toy store. The iconic toy store F.A.O. Schwartz is returning to New York in November with a new 20,000-square-foot location in Rockefeller Center. And it's making a grand re-entry, complete with a giant piano from the Tom Hanks movie Big. Joining us now in our studio is Wall Street Journal reporter Charles Passy. Charles, let's first go back to 2015 when F.A.O. Schwartz closed its flagship store on Fifth Avenue. At the time, they cited rising costs, but was that all that was going wrong then?
You know, I think there were a bunch of factors. I mean, the truth of the matter is that the toy industry as a whole has been sort of trying to find its way these days. You have a couple of different factors. For starters, toys are not what they once were in the culture. In this era of computers and technology, plastic toys or just handheld toys do not hold the same place they once did. On top of that, you have online retailing, which has just changed the entire retail landscape, but it has also changed the toy landscape. So I think those factors also played into, you know, their demise, as they have with Toys R Us, which is the big retailer that did own F.A.O. Schwartz at one time. So I think those factors certainly had to have played into the company's demise in 2015.
Tell us about the plans now for the new Rockefeller Center store, which isn't a cheap location, by the way.
It's definitely not. This is now under a new ownership, a company called 360 Brands, who they're the affiliate. The larger group is called 360 Group. They are essentially making a very experiential F.A.O. Schwartz. What you're going to have is basically everywhere you turn, there's going to be somebody to interact with, whether it's a magician, whether it's a toy soldier, that is somebody dressed up as a toy soldier, whether it is a dancer who will be dancing on that Tom Hanks big piano. Everywhere you turn, there's going to be somebody to interact with, a lot of product demonstrators. There are also going to be stations in the store. So, for example, instead of just buying a doll, you will go to a doll adoption center and you will meet with a quote-unquote quote-unquote doctor or nurse to discuss your doll adoption needs and fill out some paperwork. I mean, so everything is going to be taken to another level. So everything is going to be very interactive, ultimately focused on the sale, I suspect, but you can go to the store and essentially play around a lot before you do any actual buying.
So, Charles, I can remember going to FAO's flagship store as a kid, and it really was an experience. And that was all before the rise of e-commerce, and toys were different back then, as you mentioned earlier. The experience for shopping for toys was different then. Seems like the new FAO is looking to recapture that nostalgia, but also updating for the times. Do you think it can do both?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've got a shot at it. I mean, what they're trying to do is you're right in the sense that the previous FAO was a bit experiential, but now they're going full throttle with it. I think that they certainly have the ability to create some buzz in the beginning, and we'll see how it lasts. I think this is not so much this store. You know, when I talk to experts about it, this store in and of itself is not so much about making money. I mean, they don't want to necessarily completely lose their shirts on the store, but this store is more an advertisement for the brand. This is in a very expensive location. You probably cannot get a more expensive retail location than right in the heart of Rockefeller Center, literally catty corner from where the Today Show is filmed and literally right behind from where the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree stands. So this is about as prime a New York location as you can imagine. It will be an advertisement from the brand. And, you know, as shoppers are Instagramming their way through the store, I think they're hoping that that will create buzz for the rest of FAO. Now, they're building a store in China. They're going to be doing pop-ups and various things in stores in New York and around the country, and they probably will open other retail locations around the world. So I think this is basically an effort to recreate the FAO brand and have people think of FAO a certain way, and then probably then think about it as a place they will go to their shopping needs. I think an interesting question here is FAO is still ultimately a very high-end toy store. So it was not, Toys R Us was a mass-market toy store. FAO is high-end. I don't know, you know, with all the buzz they create, you know, will shoppers be going to FAO as much in the way that they did to Toys R Us when Toys R Us was a mass market store? I don't know if people will go to FAO, you know, given that a lot of their purchases at FAO would be $100 and up. It's hard to say how that will play out. But I think that what they're using is taking the New York store, making it sort of about a brand position and using that to leverage how they grow their business throughout the world.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Charles Passy joining us in our studio to talk about the relaunch of FAO Schwarz. Charles, thanks so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.